And belling up to the 9-foot homemade oak bar, my name is Craig Toth, your host of Minor League News and Brews, talking about everything around the Pirates minor league system and giving you some beer reviews at the end of the show. You guys thought you were getting the Greensboro preview this week. That got thrown off by some scheduling stuff going on. So I tossed a little note out to somebody who everybody's going to recognize here, our boy Murph, who reached out to Nola. And the crazy thing is that me and Murph were kind of thinking the same thing, is doing a Pirates prospects only draft. And we kind of laughed about it, but it's coming together here, and we're going to do this. For anybody that doesn't know, Anthony Murphy and Nola Jeffy, Mr. Jeff Reed, they write for Bucks on Deck, the Substack. Also published authors. Congratulations, boys, gentlemen. This is awesome. Everybody go out there and get your copy of Draft Nation 2024 Pittsburgh Pirates Minor League Guide. Like I said, mine didn't come in yet, guys. For anybody that's watching this on video, they're shaming me here. But guys, go out and get that. It's going to be, I can't wait to dig into that. I'm hoping to get it before I go down to spring training. It's going to be my my reading material in the airports and in the plane for my layovers and stuff like that. Going to be referring to it. But guys, yeah, congratulations on that. For anybody that doesn't, I'll throw the tags out there. For Anthony Murphy, it's @_Murphy88. And for Nola Jeffy, he makes it very simple for us. It's @NolaJeffy, guys. So, gentlemen, welcome to Minor League News and Brews. How you guys doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. Happy to finally get a chance to come back on. I know we've been talking about trying to link up for quite some time now, and so happy to be on here. It's really excited to do this. Like you mentioned, we kind of, you know, had the same idea going. And
at the same time, yeah, it's
forward. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy to be here. I definitely, my brain was going through different ways I should think about doing this draft.
Yeah, and we had some discussions about, like, you know, should we do, like, all individual positions? I believe we landed on a catcher, 4 infielders, 3 outfielders, and 7 pitchers, correct?
I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, I mean, if somebody wants to pick somebody who's a relief pitcher, but as we all know, people that are in the minor leagues, there's guys, they run some, you know, decent amount of openers sometimes, injuries. I had John Moses on recently, and we had a discussion about, you know, the FCL and how it's running, and are there going to be enough arms to end, you know, the end of the season? So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just easier to go 7 pitchers and just kind of run it however we want to run it. But we do have to do the draft order here. I told them I was going to try to put it up on the screen. I'm not that technologically savvy. For anybody that watches the show, I'm old. I got the gray beard. These guys shaming me again with their young, full, you know, dark beards.
I got like 2 gray hairs coming in.
The picture quality is horrible on my mind because I got it scattered throughout. So.
Okay. Well, the picture, well, it's good for you then, because the quality picture is good for you because it's not showing any of them. But I got our names here on a little wheel here. So whoever's going to pick first, let's just run it here. Murph gets the first overall pick. Not liking that at all. I'm going to remove Murph from there. So it's between, oh man, this is my show, and I'm picking third. Nola's picking second. This is such junk. This is such trash, guys. Oh, my goodness. So at least I got a little bit of time to think here, strategize a little bit. The other thing we didn't talk about, are we going to go with a little snake, like fantasy football draft style, or are we going to go in order, kind of like if you're the first, you're in baseball, it goes back to the first again?
I think
we could do snake.
Yeah, we could do snake.
Okay, snake sounds good. So I like that. Thank you guys for giving me a little bit there, because then at least I get two picks in a row. So and for everybody here, we're gonna go through the draft. Yeah, we're gonna make this, and if, like I told the guys beforehand before we jumped on here, if there's any like insight or different stuff they want to talk about with the players that they pick, they can do that, or we can just kind of pick them and maybe just talk about everybody else's players and who we really wanted. So, Murph, with the first pick in the inaugural Pirates prospect draft special here, Minor League News and Brews, Bucks in the Basement. Who are you gonna pick, man?
So I guess it's also worth remembering. We did mention that if they get any points in the majors, weren't gonna count, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I forgot to mention.
And then also we're only doing full season players as well, just the full season teams. So with those things in mind, you know, obviously, you know, there's a couple people that obviously come straight to mind that you would want to take. That's gonna, you know, get points and everything like that. But obviously with, if we kind of lose that player when they get to the majors, you kind of want someone that you is going to perform, but also is going to be in the minors most of the season. And I think the best combination of all that for me is I'm going with Thomas Harrington with my first pick.
No!
So he tied for the system lead in strikeouts last year with Jared Jones. Obviously, we can probably bank on Jared Jones making it to the majors this year, so he's not going to keep putting up those numbers. The control is good. He's going into a more hitter-friendly ballpark this year in Altoona. I just think he's probably the safest plus with some upside kind of pick to go with here.
What do you think about that, Nola?
I mean, he's on kind of the same wavelength as me as well, because that's one of the first things that's going through my head too. Is I was like, obviously everybody would want, you know, Skeens, but you know I'm gonna need somebody that's gonna be in the minors the entire season, because then, you know, with seven pitchers each, it might even thin out a bit. Even though, you know, Pirates system's a little loaded, so with that in mind, I'm gonna go Bubba.
Guys, you see faces here. Like, everybody that's going to watch this on video is going to see my face, because those are the first two guys that I had in my mind. With the rules that we had in place and different stuff like that. So, I mean, and with Bubba, I mean, I don't even know if we've seen his full potential yet. And I think that's like the piece of that for me.
And plus, the same thing, I was like, you know, he's going to Altoona, where, you know, it's the least hitter-friendly park of the four teams, so I'm gonna bank on this stuff and more pitcher-friendly.
Well, I'm gonna have to take what won't be the scraps, but is gonna be Anthony Solomito, for some of the same reasons. There has had his time in Altoona, performed well, saw a tick up in his, you know, in the miles, in the velo, at the beginning of the season. I think that, you know, kind of maybe there again. I mean, just that arm angle, I love it. The deception. And even though MLB Scoops is out there saying that, you know, Solomito is going to make it to the majors, maybe even before, you know, Jones or Skeens, which would be the craziest thing ever. I'm going to have to go with Solomito. And then, guys, I'm going to take the first hitter here. I'm taking Tamar Johnson. I can't look away from that before it goes back around to me. Tamar is lighting the world on fire in spring training, which is something we've seen with younger players before, not as young as him. And it's like that balance of, is he going to be a power hitter? Is he going to be a hitter? Is he going to be a mix of both? I'm looking for the walk rate to stay. I mean, his eye's great. The strikeout numbers may hurt me a little bit, but man, he just looks like not a different hitter than he did last year, but it just seems like he's developing more and more, going down and getting the ball, filling up the zone with his bat. So yeah, Tamar Johnson. So it's back to you, Nola.
Okay. I'm probably gonna get a little crazy on this one, and I'm gonna go the first outfielder and take Lonnie White. And
if he stays healthy, man, that's a great pick for you.
Well, and, yeah. You know, all things considered, he should be in Greensboro, which, I mean, we saw what Chang did in Greensboro, and then you're going to take someone of Lonnie's size, skill, and tools. You know, he should really benefit. But also, one of the other things I kept in mind, too, was, and it's funny, when I was with on John Toth on the other, we were talked a little bit about the outfield, and I'm like, there's not a lot of outfielders probably to choose from, so I wanted to get probably the best one right up front.
Yeah, I kind of figured he wouldn't be available for me coming back around. Obviously, I was hoping for, but with my pick, I'm gonna take the guy who originally I said that if I didn't get the first pick, he was kind of the guy I was planning on taking, just because of the, I don't say limited, but you know, the depth on the pitching side. I felt like originally I could have waited and then just grab him because the value, and I was actually going to take him over Tomar just because of the, you know, a little more extra bases and the stolen base threat. But with my next pick, I'm going to take Jack Brannigan. He was a home run short of a 2020 season. He has the speed. So he's someone who's going to steal some bases, a little bit of power there. I think like once you get to a certain point with the infield, you kind of see a little bit of a drop off. So I really wanted to kind of grab him while he was available. And then as far as my next pick gets a little bit tougher, I'm going to say, but I'm going to go with Garrett Forster because I've had people talking into my ear all off season about him going to be the breakout guy in the system. And if he's starting in Greensboro, I can definitely foresee a lot of offense there. So I'm going to grab me a couple infielders.
Is people talking in your ear, Corey?
Yes. Yes, Corey. Yeah. He has definitely been chatting up Forster all off season to us. So I'm going to throw that out there too. So if it doesn't work out for me, we all know who to blame at that point.
Yeah. All right. So back to me.
Absolutely, sir.
I guess it's time to finally do it. I'm Paul Skeens. I mean, what much else to say other than, I mean, I hope, I think he's going to do very well. He's probably going to give me a lot of strikeouts. We'll just have to see what the future plans are for him. If he goes up in June, then I'll be scrambling, but, you know. Hopefully I'll get enough of a lead in the standings and points. It won't hurt that much.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll see who graduates from maybe the FCL and gets pulled into Bradenton, into their rotation, stuff like that. I mean, so it and that's where kind of like my thinking is going right now is this is a guy who is being mentioned as possibly a riser into the top 100 prospects at some point in time during this season. And that's going to be Michael Kennedy, left-handed pitcher, going to be in the, I know that Bradenton is a little bit friendlier than Greensboro. So he should do pretty well there. It's usually the Florida State League is usually a pretty pitcher friendly. And a lot of stuff with him is, you know, people are wondering if he's going to be able to add velo. Well, you know, he's only 19 years old, but he's also a left-hander. Left-handers don't always add velo as much as, you know, some do. But I just kind of see him as somebody that is going to take a step forward this year. And he's a guy that, you know, I definitely like, but once people started saying, you know, possible top 100 prospect, I couldn't let him pass me by. And then with the next pick, I'm going to take another pitcher. I'm taking Owen Kellington. you guys are going to start getting frustrated with me. I'm like the guy who drafts like four quarterbacks in a fantasy, you know, football draft or something. But I wanted to make sure once we were saying like, you know, the pitchers, I wanted to get those kind of out of the way, and then I can settle into the position players.
All
That works. Yeah,
that's fair. Take feed on the strength of the system, and then plug as you need on there. And Kellington was definitely a guy I think I was looking at coming back around on there. So
yeah. Ooh, no, I don't know. This next one might be kind of tough for me. Let's see. Actually, you know, I'm gonna go infielder, and I'm gonna go McAdoo. I'm really stoked to see what a full season of McAdoo looks like. And again, he's another player that's probably gonna has a high chance he begins in Greensboro, and Greensboro offense, baby.
Okay. Well, no, yeah, I like that one. That kind of throws off again some more of my stuff. I'm gonna go with an outfielder here, though. I had mentioned that. Yeah, because he played the majority in the outfield last year. I take Joe Perez on there. I really thought he was when he got the invite to camp. He was someone that like I saw him a lot last year and all that. And there's you know hit for power immediately as soon as he entered the system. And I thought he was like one of those sleeper guys when we got the non-roster invites and all that. Obviously, we haven't seen too many of the games. I've noticed if he's done too much this spring, but I still think he's going to hit for some power back in Indy and stuff like that, and be a big part of their lineup. So,
you're going with him as an outfielder?
Yeah, I'm going with him as an outfielder. I had McAdoo listed as an outfielder too on here to try to be sneaky.
Okay,
because he played this couple games.
Yeah, that is. I guess I wonder how that works. Can we like flip guys?
That's we talked about this. It's like the tough part about the minor leagues is they, and especially in the other part is like a Ben Cherington. He loves versatility. And yeah. So he will play guys like infield, outfield, and then infielders, if they can't play the outfield, they'll play almost every position except for first base. So it does make it a little bit tougher.
And with my next pick, I think I'm going to circle back to some pitchers and I'm going to take Braxton Ashcraft. Like I know that's like my whole original strategy was to kind of try to stay away from guys on the 40 man just because of the risk of them having to come up and stuff like that. But I think at this point now, like Nola did with Skeens, I'll take the points while you can get them. I think wherever they put them, whether they send him back to AA to keep stretching him out, or if they just go and throw him in Indy, I think he's gonna work out great for me while I'm able to use him. I mean, they do have some other options that they may want to look at in the rotation before he gets a shot. So maybe he's there a little bit longer and then it just works out even better for me. So I'm going to go with Braxton Ashcraft. Jared Jones gets up before him anyways, just because he has more of a track record pitch or so in the rotation.
I'm about to start thinking up my trade proposal. let's see. Okay. So for my next one, I'm going to go for hits and bags in this one, and Mitch Jeb infield. I presume he'll probably begin getting some outfield time, but knowing the way they are also, especially with these kids, you know, a lot of the, like, second base types, they'll say, we believe he can stick at shortstop because they said that about him. So I wouldn't be surprised if, especially if he begins in Greensboro, that he gets quite a bit of shortstop time. With outfield time sprinkled in, but that 80 grade speed, I'm expecting a lot of stolen bases.
And talking about funk, that swing, like I don't know how it works, but it works. And so I would be like, do not mess with that whatsoever. And here's it. Did you get who got McAdoo? You got McAdoo as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you are taking the bags up, man. Because those guys are just when they came onto the scene, like they were a hit machine down in Bradenton. So I mean. Mm-hmm. I can't really knock you for that. And I think I had to change my draft strategy a little bit because I'm like, I was going like power, different stuff like that. So for my next pick, I got to go Trace Gonzalez. I know that, you know, Trace, he did well in Greensboro, came up to Altoona. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period, but he's a guy that just kind of like, he just hits, gets on base, and he has the speed. So Trace is a guy that I've really liked throughout this system. And then I got to grab the thing with the Pirates is the catchers now. Like, I don't see the Pirates. Like, before, if we would have done this last year, it would have been, like, an overabundance of catchers. But I'm going to go Omar Fons, who I'm going to go. And you guys either, I'm guessing you guys didn't like that pick because you wanted him. But
oh, no, I love that guy. That's my guy. That's my guy. I legitimately debated taking him with that last pick there, but I wanted to get another pitcher on board. And, but like my thought process was the same as you, that like the catchers seem so thin here that I thought I figured I'd maybe sneak one in sooner. But no, I love that pick. I like Alfonso is one of my favorite guys in the system. And
oh yeah,
so
well, and that's what
there's a lot of potential there.
I like those two picks in a row because I know Trace Gonzalez for us is a bit of a sleeper in the system. We think, you know, just a guy that we haven't gotten a lot of batted ball data, especially last year being in Greensboro, but he's someone that ever since he got in the system when we had Bradenton numbers, like he hit the ball a lot harder than we originally anticipated. And Murph, you'd probably remember better because his swing and strike weight was something like 6.5% or something. Like it was low.
Yeah, it wasn't until he was leading the system until Mitch Jeb got in. It got
it's not Mitch Jeb low, but it's low.
So, but like, yeah, you're not. So like, where you took, were you worried about the strikeouts? Like with Tamar, I think you kind of make up for that with taking a Tress there because he's not gonna strike out much if at all.
So. And once again, like I heard John Moses talking him up, and it probably was in the back of my head, but just watching him, not even really watching him in Greensboro, but following him in Greensboro because there's not a lot of Greensboro games to watch. I mean, there were more, but so I think he's just a good ball player. Get on base, good batting average, get some hits. So I definitely had to get some bases on there, get some points.
Let me think about my next pick a little bit more. I think I'm gonna go Shaylen Polanco. I'm going to hope for a full healthy season out of him and a bit of a breakout year from him, which it's not Greensboro offense, but Bradenton's actually a lot more of a hitter friendly park than people think it is. So I'm going to stack my outfield.
She's getting all the outfield people.
Mm-hmm.
All the Greensboro people, I guess I should say. And then one thing more about Gonzalez too, is like when I went to Greensboro last year, he made a lot of like very solid contact. Like obviously there's no exit velocity readings down there, but like I do think there's a lot more power in his bat than maybe the numbers say, that maybe if like he wanted to get to some more of it, there could be some more there. So, but he was one of the guys that stood out there in Greensboro when I was down there last year. So yeah, I definitely like that pick. But going back to me, I'm going to take another pitcher. And I'm going to take Hunter Barco, who, he's coming off of Tommy John last year. So eased back in. Obviously, we'll see him, expand. And I just think even with the coming back, he's adjusting again to coming back from Tommy John. He still looked really good, still struck out a lot of batters. And I imagine he's going to – maybe he starts in Greensboro. Maybe they keep him in. But either way, he's going to be – in the lower levels to where I think he's going to overmatch a lot of the hitters down there and he's not going to walk hitters and he'll get a bunch of strikeouts. And for my next pick, I'm going to go with Josiah Sykes as my third infielder. So he's he kind of tore through Bradenton, kind of tore through the complex league, hit a wall a little bit once he got to Greensboro. But the power is legit. The power is really good. I think if he starts again in Greensboro, he'll be more ready to take advantage of the hitter friendly park there.
That's a good one. Let's see.
Make a Nola think here. He's getting to the nitty-gritty here.
I just pulled up some more lists and stuff just to think it through and all that. I was for a second thinking Priester, but I think he's going to fall into that issue of he might start the year, which I do think there's a high probability he begins the year in the majors. So there's that. And then up, down, up, down. So the one I'm debating on is Shim. I don't know if Shim is going to begin in Bradenton or if he's going to begin into the short season.
That's a question.
What says y'all?
If he pitched more than he did last year, I think it's obviously like a slam dunk that he's in Bradenton. But like 8 innings, like I can see either scenario on it. That's the only reason why I didn't take him with like the one of my picks there. It's just because I wasn't sure.
You know, I've heard them talk very highly of him, and even recently about how much they love his stuff. So I'm gonna I'm going to take the leap, and I'm going to pick Shim.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, it's he was taking the track of, like you said, if he would have just pitched like just a little bit more and then stuck around, he probably would have been in Bradenton last year and then, you know, would be in Bradenton's rotation this year. But yeah, just unfortunate there. And like you said, everybody's talking up, like, his stuff is supposed to be absolutely, like, disgusting. And the fastball plays well, but yeah, that's one where I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about him, but, you know, I don't want to take another pitcher from you guys. I got to get another infielder here. I'm going to go with your Donnie De Los Santos.
I was just thinking him.
And that's who I was worried that you were trying to decide between. As we saw, I mean, De Los Santos in the, obviously in the FCL, just tore things up so quickly that he was up in Bradenton, fell back a little bit, extremely young, extremely athletic, a lot of power, a lot of speed, a lot of hit to contact as well. Like, I'm really excited about him this year, and getting a full year of him in Bradenton is definitely going to be very nice. And then with the second pick, I was going to go with Rodolfo Nolasco in the outfield. He's shown power, just hasn't shown consistency in Bradenton, looking like he may be in Greensboro this year. And even though, like, here's the thing that's like, it's frustrating to me is that even in this prospect draft here thing here, it's not saying that I know that Nolasco is going to hit, but just getting him and I got to get myself some points here. I believe he's going to hit a ton of home runs. He's just kind of struggled with consistency, struggled with health at times, but was, you know, a top 30 prospect at one point in time and has kind of just fallen off a little bit. So hopefully he can get that back together. I was looking at his age. He's still only 22 years old. That's the crazy part. Cause it feels like he's been around for like 10 years at this point in time, but guy that I'm looking for a bounce back season, get him started hot in Greensboro for me.
Oh man. Back to me again.
It is.
I think I'm going to go for Bags again. I'm going to go for Bags again and get Chang, Sung Che Chang. I'm going to probably lead the league in stolen bases by double.
Nah, that's a good thing. I was wondering if, because like I already have three infielders, but I was thinking as it was coming back around, I saw him there, and I'm I only have one outfielder right now. He's still available,
and I think
I feel like I just need to grab him.
Yeah, and I feel like he's been kind of overshadowed this spring, just but you know, with Tamar Johnson having the spring he's having, but you know, on the other side of the second base bag, you know, the other 5'7" infielder. I mean, he's having a pretty good spring, and he hit that one shot to dead center.
He's had a couple batted balls over 100 miles an hour this spring, which he played in Greensboro and Altoona last year, so we're not going to have the exact things, but I can imagine there weren't that many like that. So for him to be hitting a couple like that already seems very encouraging. I'm going to go with Chase Bowman, another 2020 kind of guy. And I struggled a little bit whenever he got up to Altoona, but like that was also the same when he came up with to Greensboro a couple years ago, and then last year we saw what he really did. You know, he takes the time to kind of learn the surroundings and get comfortable and stuff like that. But when he gets going, like, I mean, he was one of the 2020 guys this year. So that takes care of my second outfielder. And I think I'm going to go a little off the wall here, but it's someone, again, that I'm kind of buying that he's going to be pitching in the lower levels, and maybe he's a little advanced for that, so I can kind of get some bonus points with it. And it's someone that I know this offseason Nola has really started to buy in with me and stuff like that. I'm going to take Jaden Woods with my next pick. I think they're going to try to stretch him out as a starter, and he'll probably get like the Thomas Harrington treatment and how some of the other guys, he'll start in Bradenton to work there, and he'll be able to take advantage of the single A hitters coming from the SEC and stuff like that. So, and then even if they shift him to the bullpen and stuff like that, like he showed great enough control and some swing and miss stuff to where I still think he'd be very valuable out of the bullpen for me. So that's going to be my second pick.
Good.
And I was a really big Jaden Woods guy going into the draft too. I saw a couple of his games at Georgia. So,
oh man, I was thinking of pulling the trigger on him as well. He was another one of the ones that I was thinking. I think I'm gonna take another pitcher from last draft, and Carlson Reed, my cousin.
we need to put a disclaimer that in fact he is not his cousin.
We are in fact not related, but you know, but I know a big right-hander. Reaches the upper 90s. I know he's shown up on a couple of national prospect lists for the Pirates. So we didn't really get to see too much of him last season, but big kid, big stuff. So big hopes, a lot of Ks because he'll be in those lower levels too.
Okay. I think I'm going to fill out my outfield here first, and I'm going to go with Emmanuel Torrero. I started out really hot in Bradenton last year, kind of fell off a little bit. Was one of those, I guess for us prospect guys, was like a prospect darling for like at least the first half of the season. I definitely still think there's a lot in there for him. And then I just look at the lower minor. And it's like there a lot of people are like, well, he fell off, so it's like he's done, and it's like he's not even 22 years old yet. So I mean, these guys are gonna have some growing pains. They're gonna have stretches where they do really well, but I did like what I saw a lot from him. And then I'm gonna finish off outfield, and I am gonna go. And this is, I'm going to take a risk here because I'm assuming he's going to be in Bradenton, but I'm going to go Estar Suero. I'm assuming he is. If he doesn't, it'll bite me and I'll have to drop him and, you know, pick somebody else up. But I mean, I think he showed enough between the two organizations last year that I really don't think that he, it's not a whole lot to be gained there. I've seen some video on him recently and I definitely do think that, you know, he'll start in Bradenton. But I mean, people, I think that people probably are saying who is that guy even, but I mean, when you acquire people, you know, from Milwaukee system, you acquire people from the Padres system, different stuff like that. Like you'll know him by the end of this year. Believe me.
I think he is like some of like the highest upside probably too, especially in like the lower levels on there. Things start clicking and all that for him. Like he has some power potential and he can steal a bunch of bases. So yeah, that's, if that's what you're using to fill out your bench with, I mean, that's kind of what you want to do with like one of those last, or your outfield with, that's kind of what you want to do with there. Someone that's going to swing for the fence kind of thing. So yeah.
So I think I'm debating on this one of filling out my outfield or grabbing another pitcher. I'm going to bank on another year of development and building strength and stamina, even though he's going to the worst possible place for pitching. And I'm going to pick one of our personal favorites, Alessandro Urcolani.
I like that.
He's likely going to Greensboro, which is might not be the best when he starts tiring out during the game. But pretty big kid, and he's been reaching upper 90s, hitting upper 90s, and if he can maintain that deeper in the games, I think he's going to have a breakout year.
And he's still 19 too, so I'm sure the filling out and the being able to maintain the velocity thing, that'll come with, I think his birthday is at the end of April or something like that. So so he'll be 19 when the season starts. So yeah, that's definitely on my list on there. So let's see. I think I'm going to fill out my infield, and I'm going to take, he came into a spring game the other day and hit a home run. And I wrote about him last year. He made like a little tweak to his swing. He was getting the ball in the air more, and he was seeing a lot more power and stuff like that. I'm going to take Jackson Glenn. Not sure exactly where he's going to play and stuff like that. I mean, he could end up probably just being a depth guy that I get shipped out to or something like that. But, like, he can hit. He's shown he can hit. He had that really bad year in Greensboro in, what was it, 2022 or something like that. Bounced back this year. Like I said, got the ball in the air a little bit more, saw some better results. And yeah,
I said, because he had a near, like, 800 OPS in Altoona, didn't he?
Yeah. Something like that. It was close. Yeah. So once he got the Altoona, I was actually shocked to see him hit for the, I wouldn't say power, but yeah, he hit a lot better than I figured he would there. And and then to go back around, I think I'm going to take another pitcher to Woods, and I'm going to take another guy that I've kind of mentioned, a guy that I like, and I'm gonna start sneaking in some like reliever guys here too for it. I'm going to take Valentin Linares. They switched him to reliever. Once they switched him to the bullpen, the velocity spiked up. He was actually in a Baseball America article about guys who saw like a velo bump this past year. They did note it was because he made the move to the bullpen. So that was kind of, you know, obviously you'd see that a little bit. But he's looked like a whole new pitcher out of the bullpen. He pitched in the Winter League too. I can't remember which Winter League. And he looked really good there. Was actually the team's closer. I feel like he's probably going to, wherever he pitches at, probably Altoona, he'd probably be in line to be one of the like ninth inning guys there. So I'm going to go with Valentin Linares.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to finish off outfielders right now. And it's another guy that's kind of unknown deeper down in the lists. more of a contact over power guy at this moment, but Esmerlin Valdez, I think he got a taste of low A Bradenton after a pretty big year in the FCL. So I think a full season in the Bradenton, again, you know, he was more of like a contact over power type guy, but I think there might be a little bit more in there. And I think I got a stud starting outfield.
You definitely do. And here's the thing, guys. I even confused myself when I said Esther Suaro. I actually meant Gianni Severino because I already had three outfielders.
I wasn't going to say anything until afterwards, but
I confused myself with it. Yeah, it's Gianni Severino. Because I looked at it as we're going through here. If anybody's watching this, you probably saw like a confused look on my face where I keep on going like, what the heck am I doing? And I was like, I talked myself into like the trades, and I was going to talk about where he came from and all this kind of stuff. And then I was like, oh, Esther Suero. And I'm like, no, it's Gianni Severino, you goofball. No, so that's who I meant to pick for my infield. So yeah, because if you want me to have four outfielders, I mean, that would be cheating, but yeah, what I want. Oh yeah. I mean, with the Rays do it all the time. So, I mean, I figure if they could do it, then I could do it, but yeah, sorry about that, guys. I'm the person supposedly, you know, running this draft, and I'm screwing it up from the get go. So,
I mean, maybe, the way the Pirates work, he might've gotten some time in the infield this year anyway. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is I was thinking maybe, you know, and Manuel got some time in the infield, but no, he was all outfield last year too. So maybe it's because I haven't pitched. I haven't got a pitcher in a while here. It's just throwing me off a little bit. I'm going to go with Po Yu Chen. And with Chen, hasn't really shown great numbers anywhere, but hasn't shown terrible numbers. So I'm kind of just betting on him getting comfortable. Hopefully in Altoona, get him out of Greensboro a little bit, get him out of that ballpark. So I'm going to kind of maybe just bet on Chen. And sometimes, guys, I just go with guys that I've seen live at times. And I saw him pitch down in Bradenton, and I thought his stuff, he played very well. It's just nothing that he does it's not going to be shock and awe. Do you know what I mean? I think maybe some people are expecting that, but he's not, that nothing is bad either. So maybe get him up to Altoona at some point in time, and maybe the numbers will start to look a little bit better. After that, I'm going to need the expert's opinion on how to pronounce this, because this is a player that I really like, but I didn't see it on there. It's Brandon, and it's Bedoy. Okay. So
I think it's like Bedoy. Yeah.
Bedoy. Yeah, because I didn't know.
Say Bedois. I'm not.
I didn't know if it. I kind of looked it up, and it's. I didn't know if it was like a French type name. Like, because here's the thing: is up here in Pennsylvania, we say Dubois, and it should be Dubois. But you know, so I'm gonna pronounce it that way. I'm gonna pronounce it I'm gonna go with Brandon Dubois. So I'm gonna take him. Pitched really well. I think he only got about 22 innings last year. Something like 42 strikeouts in those innings. Did have a little bit of walk concerns. Definitely going to be a reliever, but hopefully, you know, can pack up some saves, some strikeouts for me down there.
I know he was a guy that even, what is it, Baseball America talked about as like a breakout guy this year too. And yeah. I know Noel and I really get into like the pitch shape and the analytics and like with fastballs and stuff like that on the site a lot. And he's one of the guys that kind of has one of the more like appealing looking fastballs, at least when it comes to like induced vertical break, it's up there. It was like 18, 19 inches or something like that last year. So I think Noel is fact checking me right now on it, but
no, actually I'm doing more searching. I don't know if you saw the look. It's because in a lot of places, Esmerlin Valdez is listed as an outfielder, but then I'm actually on like roster resource and it has him listed as a first baseman. And I'm like, I'm like, I guess technically, yeah. So yeah, he gets a little bit of both. So that's why, because yeah, I mean, you can keep talking because I'm doing a little searching.
I'm just saying, he's like one of the guys that that like I really like towards the end of the year. He had a lot of injury issues and all that too, and I think they're working him back slowly. That's why he only got like the 20 innings or so that he did last year, but like I said, Baseball America mentioned him as a breakout guy. I think they mentioned it was like one of the first few people they left off of the Pirates top 30 list when they did that. So probably start seeing his name a little bit more as we see some guys graduate and whatnot. And Nola mentioned that like Quinn Priester, probably a good chance he starts in the majors. The first time records it now, he officially graduates from prospect status. So we'll start seeing people move up pretty quickly. Nola knows it better how much like Nicky G needs to graduate officially or something like that.
It's only a handful of at bats. I don't remember off the top of my head, but that's actually probably a really good pick because I didn't even really think about that too. Though with the points for saves,
he picked up a couple last year.
Yeah, he's probably a good bet to be probably one of the back end closers in the minors. Okay, so I'm probably gonna make a bit of a leap on this one. This kind of. Interestingly, doing the book is what kind of is going to lead me on to this one, but I'm going to pick for catcher Miguel Sosa. Ridley, he's not a guy I knew quite a bit about originally. A little bit of insight. I had actually done Cannon Smith and Jigba, his report, but then he got DFA'd, so then we had to scramble at the end there, and ironically, you know, he comes back, and I messaged Finoli about it, and I'm like, does he go back on the list or not? And but by that point, it was far gone. It had already been like submitted and everything. But this Sosa played in the Complex League last year and had like 154 weighted runs created plus in 34 games, 103 plate appearances. There's talk of when he was first signed, there was a report of, you know, potential for power, but he didn't hit for a lot of power last year, only 2 home runs, but he had an almost 30% walk rate against 22% K rate, which was actually double what it was like in the Dominican. But the kid with that kind of patience and bat to ball, I think there's probably a good chance he begins in Bradenton, although there is a lot of catchers in those lower levels. So this might be one that I have to replace when they come out with full season rosters. So we'll see. But as of right now, Miguel Sosa is my catcher.
I'm looking at my roster now, and I'm going to struggle with strikeouts, I think. So at this point, I think I'm just going all in on that and just take the upside with it. And I'm going to take Matt Gorski, 2020 guy last year, power. I don't like the glove is major league ready. I just don't know if the bat's ever going to be like able to stick him in a lineup and all that at any consistent point. So I think it's pretty safe as like a triple A type of player. Power plays pretty much anywhere he goes. Like the power is that legit. And if he stays healthy, he's a guy that can push like a 30-30 kind of envelope with that kind of power speed combination. It's just he's going to strike out a ton. So I'm going to buy all into the points that I'm going to lose with strikeouts this year and go with Matt Gorski. And I think with my pick coming back around, I'm going to take somebody again that I know I'm going to have to replace. But if Nola's going to go ahead and take Paul Skeens, I'm going to take Jared Jones then. Because I feel like at this point, like the value that I'm getting on taking Jared Jones at this point, like I could probably fill in, I could probably put almost anybody in his spot, and like I'd still come out ahead with it. So I don't think he's gonna make everyone wants him to make the team out of camp and stuff like that. I still see the potential, and I'm starting to buy back into the starter thing more. I just think that there's a lot more work that can be done, that should be done. I kind of felt like he got pushed to AAA a little bit quicker than maybe he was ready for.
So, yeah, but if he has Ben Charrington, AA and AAA are the same.
Yeah, not at all. But I'm going to go with Jones now, and realizing that at this point I'm going to have to, like, whatever pitcher I probably take at this point is – probably not going to make too much of a difference. So if I can get some added points from him right now, I feel comfortable with that.
Man, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. I think I'm going to go against my draft thought process again here. Another guy that we personally have liked, similar to Urquilani, I'm going to take Wilbur Dotel. And he's another guy that's probably going to go to Greensboro, which could murder me. But on one hand, he's kind of similar to Urquilani in that he's, you know, he flashes great stuff earlier in games when he's like full stamina, everything's working, but kind of tires out and like loses the shape of his pitches and everything. But he also had, I don't have him directly in front of me at the moment, but think he had near like double the innings pitched as Urquilani, so he's a little more stretched out, I think, another year. So I'm going to bank on a breakout year for him as well.
I mean, I'm kind of going to go with, I don't know, I got to go with it just because I think that the injury last year to Malcolm Nunez just kind of ruined everything that I wanted to see from him. Last season. I know that obviously there was like the thing coming over when he got traded that, you know, he was in a hitter friendly ballpark, and he was in a hitter friendly ballpark when he was playing in St. Louis's system. But for anybody that's watched the videos of him and seen those home runs, I didn't really see them as like sneaking over the fence types of home runs. I think the power is real. I do like that he does have a decent walk rate for a guy that could have that much power. Doesn't strike out a ton, did more last year. I don't know if that was more injury related. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bet on Malcolm Nunez this year. And then for the next pick, I need another pitcher. I'm going to go with Jackson Wolf. I know he's on the 40 man, but I think he's kind of a little bit further down. I know that he does have a major league appearance before the Pirates acquired him, but I didn't really look too much into that. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the Indianapolis, you know, rotation for the entire year. And even though I'm not left-handed, I really like left-handed pitchers. I don't know why. I always have. So, so I'm going to go with Jackson Wolf there. And like I said, if he ends up, you know, getting called up at some point in time, you know, there'll definitely be a way to backfill that, when that comes.
All right. Oh man, back to me. Let's see. So I could see him beginning in Double A again. Might get pushed to Indy, but I'm gonna pick our boy Sean Sullivan to finish off my pitchers. And especially now that we've seen him throw in 94, 95. I'm not sure if it's going to hold for complete starts.
96 the last game.
Well, yeah, I think it was 95.6. I think it's what's.
You always round up.
We round up. So he touched 96. The command hasn't really seemed to be what it was when he was originally in Greensboro, which is what kind of got me on the Sullivan train initially, was just the command of his fastball. So hopefully with this added velo, he doesn't turn into Chad Kuhl, who lost all sense of control as soon as he had that velo bump. If he finds all that along with that velo bump, I think he's definitely under the radar type guy.
Yeah, he's say one thing with that. You know, he kind of reminds me this watching him in spring and just kind of thinking about it. I mean, Carmen Majinski struck out more, I think, and had more of a swing and miss kind of to his game than Sullivan did. But now, like, watching Sullivan in spring, like, part of me, like, just thinking, like, I wonder what happens if we just switched him to the bullpen like they did with Majinski. If that velocity stayed, because his little, like, the little sweepy slider that he has is like sneaky, like really good, and maybe the velo pop up and the slider plays a little bit more. Maybe they could find some more success with that. Maybe he does find a little more swing and miss in his game than previously. So I don't know. I was just thinking that the other day when I was watching him pitch on there. So I guess maybe with the backload of pitchers they have in the upper levels, maybe that's something they kind of look at some point.
Yeah.
So I need a catcher now. Once Alfonso went off the board, I just figured, okay, my catcher will be just my last pick. And I have two right here at the top of my list because I didn't expect Nola to. I expected Nola to take one of these two. So I can go with the guy who's probably going to play in Greensboro this year and has the kind of hitting tools to take advantage of that, I think. Or I can go with, like, probably the better guy in overall. I think we're gonna go with Abraham Gutierrez as my catcher on here. I think I like the maybe this helps me a little bit in the strikeout category because he doesn't strike out as much. The power, I think I kind of was blinded that by Greensboro that one year. I didn't really realize that maybe, but I mean, he could hit a bunch of doubles and a good contact hitter and stuff like that. So I'm going to go with Gutierrez. I think he bounced it. And like, I went to a Richmond game when he was playing and he hit like a double off the right center field wall. That was pretty impressive. So Gutierrez to fill my catcher. And then I need one more pitcher. I have like three circled here. I don't know if I should go with another starter to eat some innings. I'm gonna go with a high upside guy here, and I'm gonna go with Patrick Riley. I think he's gonna get He's another draft pick from last year. He's a reliever. Maybe they try him as a starter. That'd also allow him to be in Bradenton for a bit. But upper 90s fastball for the cutter. He'll get a bunch of strikeouts and stuff like that. We'll get some walks too. But
another one of those guys who's fastball shape. We and with very limited small sample size looks phenomenal. Let's see. Well, I guess this is my final pick. And oof, man, this is tough. I think I'm going to go for the more for the stolen bags again, and I'm going to pick Jesus Castillo.
Okay.
I'm just going to get all the stolen bags this year. All of them.
I should get it.
Another one of those like high contact guys, a lot of speed, not a lot of power in there, but you know, especially in the minors, it's the type of tools that play well in getting on base and swiping bags. So
Prospect Live had him as their like 10th ranked prospect for the Pirates.
Something like that, yeah.
And this one, I'm pretty sure he's going to start in the Complex League, but I'm going to take him just in case, you know, fingers crossed that he doesn't. And then I'll have to pick up another pitcher at some point in time, and it's going to be Xander Meath. I think he's probably going to follow the Michael Kennedy path, Owen Kellington, that type of thing. But just in case he comes and he shows out and they're saying, you know what, you can start in Bradenton. I just couldn't let him go past there. But I mean, that was man, guys, that started getting down to like you're talking about the nitty gritty towards the end. And Murph waited till the end for a catcher. I started off with like three pitchers in the first four picks, and then was struggling to find somebody to draft towards the end. So,
I got a couple pitchers right off the bat there, and then I kind of wanted to just stay away from Greensboro pitchers, but then I was like, oh man, I guess I gotta start taking them.
Absolutely. And guys, I mean, we're way over what I usually do on these podcast episodes, but it was a great time. For those of you that don't, go follow Anthony Murphy, go follow Nola Jeffy, read the stuff that they're writing at Bucks on Substack. Hold up that prospect guide one more time, guys. The 2024 Pittsburgh Pirates minor league guide through Draft Nation. And we're going to come back and we're going to look at these probably about a month or so into the season and check to see how we're doing. Maybe, you know, whenever we can get together for this. But like I said, the brainchilds of myself and Murph at about almost the same time here, pulling Nola into our craziness. But guys, it's time to get to some beer reviews. Before I jumped on with the boys here, I said that I probably should start doing minor league news and bourbon because I've been drinking a lot more bourbon recently. Luckily, my wife and I were able to sneak away to get some brunch while the kids were just kind of hanging out around the house. And I got to have a couple beers that I've never had before from a brewery that I probably should have heard of but hadn't heard of. It is Four Seasons Brewing Company from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And this is another one where we're saying like Dubois should be Dubois. A lot of people, or Lancaster is Lancaster. This is another one with Latrobe because people either say Latrobe or Latrobe, whichever one you want to go with. But they had a couple good beers there where we went out to eat. The first one is the Converse Session, the Session IPA. 4% on the weighted based on batting average. I'm going to give that one a 425, knock it down to 375 because I love my sessions. The next one is the Ale E Yins. It's spelled just like that, Ale E Yins. It's an American IPA. Going to give that one a 400, knock it down to 350. That one's coming in at 6.4%. A little bit heavier than I would like, a little bit more of the four flavor. But I would try more from Four Seasons, and it just happens to be the place that we went to. It's their beer of the month, so I might have to stop back out there again this month. Hope next week we'll be recording live from Bradenton. I'll be down there. Gonna decide what brewery I'm gonna do it from this time. I got a few to choose from. But until then, guys, let's go Indians. Let's go Curve. Let's go Hoppers. And let's go Bradenton Marauders.